the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here on the Michigan Talk Network all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up our podcast there and check out our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Getting nicer out there a little bit at a time. Of course, we get a little bit of a setback with some cooler weather, but that's all right for those who really want to get out and do some ice fishing. It's still time to do it, as we have a lot of ice left on the lakes. But I would say, if you're going to go out on bigger water, please be careful. I mean, any water in general, be careful if you're going out ice fishing. But places like Saginaw Bay, I get a little weird about the bay this time of year, especially with the warmer temperatures, and we'll talk more about that coming up in a little bit. But first, we're going to welcome our first guest, outdoor writer and angler, Mark Sack, joining us right now. Mark, how are you, and welcome.
I'm well. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Doing all right, man. Cannot wait for spring to really spring. You know what I mean? Just to really get into motion here.
Well, it's popping. I can tell you, it's coming fast, but we've had we've had the best ice across Michigan that we've had since the blizzard winter of 2014, when we fished Lake Erie, even when we ice fished Lake Erie. So, I mean, we've had an exceptional winter.
Yeah, we have, because, I mean, one minute we didn't have any ice, next minute we have like a foot.
It
really didn't. It just kept getting colder and colder, and the ice was getting thicker and thicker. And even Dan Kimmel said here a few weeks ago that there was like 13 or 14 inches of ice out on Round Lake, which is, it's not a huge body of water, but still, to have that kind of ice, you know, this far, this late into the year has been great. And that makes, as we get into March now, some really good tip-up fishing. But again, exercise caution when you go out.
Absolutely. You always have to do that, obviously. And I would say, you know, the safety. I just wrote an article for Woods and Water News, Last Ice. And it talked about how you really have to be safe because the ice melts from both top and the bottom. Mm-hmm. And how it does that is when you have runoff, it actually increases the water temp underneath the ice. And we've had a lot of runoff here. We had almost 2 inches of rain last week on Monday. So I went out on my little lake. We've still got 15 inches of ice, but we had dirty water. So it's, you know, it's good and bad this time of year because fish are staging. They're in the bays. They are approaching the river mouths. Pike will all be found in those bays, especially on the north side of the lake, and they're trying to move up towards any outlets that you have because they'll run up those outlets to spawn, and sometimes they'll spawn real early when there's still ice around. There's still ice out, and pike are thinking spawn right now. So, but I'll tell you what, there is some fabulous big fish to be had right now because before they do that spawn, they're going to do one last little feeding binge. Mm-hmm. And it is a remarkable time of year. I was just telling you off air that one of my buds up on Higgins just took a 23-pound pike.
Wow.
And he'd been really focusing on pike. And normally he'd be after Lakers, but this year he really focused on pike. And he had probably the best year pike that I've ever seen anybody have under the ice. It was just fabulous. I mean, both tip up fishing and spearing. So he kind of did it all. But and pike are really not really targeted heavily. Mm-hmm. So you'll catch a hammer handle, and then you'll catch, you know, your 24 that you can keep, and then all of a sudden, pow! You get a 33 incher. You know,
right.
I mean, you can really get some nice pike this time of year.
You know, and that's one thing I've noticed, too, is when I, you know, I've been out tip-off fishing a bit in my life, and I think I'll share this. I may have shared this with you before. If I have, I apologize. But my good friend Dennis Jagler and I were out doing some tip-off fishing, and I got a phone call as soon as we got one on the line. So Dennis is tending to the fish, and I'm speaking with Babe Winkleman, who called. And, you know, it was really kind of an ironic thing to have happen. And Dennis gets the fish through the ice, and I said, oh, yo, we're ice fishing. We're, you know, got one on the line right now. I'm bringing it in. I said, how big is it, Dennis? He says, 25. Winkleman says, pounds? I'll be right there. I'm like, no, inches. Put it back, Dennis.
Yeah, and you know, he's up there where, you know, pike have no limits. I mean, it's, you know, but and it's a little different. Obviously, pike are going to grow as big as their environment will let them, you know.
Sure.
So when I look at different pike fisheries, and I love pike, I mean, I just love catching them. I'll tell you what's coming on big time. Lake St. Clair is coming on for pike like you wouldn't believe. Saginaw Bay is coming on. I just saw a picture this morning of a guy out on Saginaw Bay who had, he had a couple walleyes. He had some very nice jumbo perch, and he had a big pike laying there on the ice, you know.
I've been seeing some really, really big, big perch coming out of the Gogebic and Bay du Nord area. Of course, again, not that much pressure up in those areas, but a lot of big fish.
No, and I'll tell you what, I think it's the one of the best perch years under the ice that Michigan has seen in quite some time as well. I mean, they're getting them out of the Detroit River right now in the marinas.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting them on Saginaw Bay like they've never got them before, and that's just because all of the netting was really stalled last year on jumbo perch, and so, you know, they've got no limit up there as far as netting perch. And when the virus hit, it stopped all that. And so, bam, we've seen this big bloom of jumbo perch up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear a lot of different things. A lot of people will say, no, that's not true. The walleyes are eating them all. Well, the walleyes were still in there. The walleyes were still in the bay. And all of a sudden, pow, we see this wonderful year of jumbo perch up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's been a really, really good year for walleye on the bay as well. So, let's not, if you're tip up fishing, let's not rule out, you know, getting that one of those tip ups out right on a drop and keep it out, you know, stay out there till dusk and see if you can pick up a nice eye as well.
Speaking with Mark Sack here in a few minutes, we're going to get to some of the techniques of tip-ups. And Mark, the one thing, that the beautiful thing about tip-up fishing is your tip-up does not have to be expensive.
No, there's some great ones on the market that are $20 or less. So I'll hit on some of the most important things that you can look for in a tip-up when we get back.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. But Mark's going to hang on the line here. And we've got a lot of things coming up. We've got the Ultimate Sports Show in Grand Rapids happening March 10th through the 13th. And I know next week we're going to speak with Bill Parker from Michigan Outdoor News about that show. It's going to be a big time in Grand Rapids, right there on the banks of the Grand River. Right, not too far from the 6th Street Dam, it's going to be going on. And it's about the time we start seeing some steelhead and some people fishing for them out there with this big warm-up we've got coming into this weekend. Again, you know, it's still going to be time to go out and do some ice fishing, but please use care, use caution, and maybe, I don't know, man, take a PFT with you just to be safe. If you don't have a floating suit, take something with you to keep you safe, because it's you know, it's not always as thick as you may think in some spots. And we'll get to, again, to the safety of ice fishing here in a little bit. You can always find more information on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Find out where we're at, find out who's bringing it to you, like our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. And you can also find out the events we're going to be at, like the upcoming Commemorative Bucks of Michigan event taking place on March 26th at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. That's going to be a big time for sure. We definitely want to see you there. Lots of guns to be given away, lots of food and fun, auctions, all kinds of great stuff with your friends here at Wild Michigan. You can get yourself there by wildmichiganradio.com or buckfax.com. More Wild Michigan coming your way.
to everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors. Thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Busy weekend coming up because it's going to be warm. It's going to be nice. When I mean warm, I mean, you know, not just 40 degrees kind of warm. I mean the expected day for the 6th, which happens to be my wife's birthday on Sunday. Happy birthday to my wife, Sarah Marie. Leaving the numbers out of it as a smart man would do, but it's a landmark for her. I can say that and still probably not get myself in too much trouble. But, you know, it's going to be warm, and Mark Sack joins us right now, and he says pretty soon he'll be on his boat, he's thinking, which is just getting back and ready to get out.
Well, first and foremost, happy birthday. Happy 30th birthday to Sarah Marie.
Right.
You know, that's the most important thing. But, yeah, we're, you know, every year I save a little money up to just maintain boats. So this year I took mine in and just had him check a few things. And lo and behold, I've got a leak in the lower unit, very small one, but small ones become bigger ones. So I was glad I got it in, got they pressure checked it and found my prop shaft was leaking. No line around the prop, but sometimes they just leak a little bit. You know, they get old and they start blowing out, you know, seals. And so we got that thing rocking and rolling, ready to go. I was loading it up yesterday. So probably, you know, it won't be too long. I mean, I'm looking at satellite imagery of Lake Erie, and that ice is moving fast towards the eastern basin. So the west will be, you know, right there. I can tell you this. Yesterday, I saw a guy out in his boat net the first walleye that I've seen this year on Lake Erie.
Really?
So, yeah, and a lot of guys are trying to sneak out. They're finding little launches that are clear. But I learned the hard way on those. You got to be really careful on that because you can go out on a launch that doesn't have a bit of ice in it. By the time you get back in, it can be packed with ice. So you got to really watch things.
You know what? It's funny you bring that up. We posted a photo of one of the I better call it a dinghy. It's a hard inflated boat with a motor on it. Normally you see them, you know, as a side boat for a bigger cabin cruiser boat or something like that, that was out on one of the rivers not too far. And, you know, it was out without passengers. So did it get away or did somebody get out, you know, thinking it was safe, and then it wasn't safe for them? And I've not seen an update from that yet. But
I haven't either. I saw that online, and I certainly hope that it just snuck away and it, you know, maybe the wind caught it and blew it off a boat or something. But jeepers, you know, it is a tough time. I mean, you know, and you've still got a lot of folks that are running out on the bay that are crossing cracks. They're using great big ramps to get across. And just, you know, the bad thing about that warm weather coming this weekend is we've got high winds coming with it.
Exactly.
And winds shift ice more than anything else. Wind is the biggest enemy of ice. It's not even rain. Rain can hit ice for a week, but you get a good warm breeze that's blowing over 30 miles an hour and you better watch out.
Yeah, it was on the St. Clair River just south of Algonac State Park is where that was, and they were actively looking for a possible occupant or former occupant of that vessel. So, again, no updates on that, so hopefully it was just something that got away. Let's talk a little bit back to tip-up fishing because, again, the warmer weather, pike get a little more active, and there are some things that you said that, you know, to look for in a new tip-up.
Yeah, the number one thing is a smooth reel. A lot of us will grab an old tip-up out of the garage, and you'll start to pull line out, and it's tight, you know, and it doesn't just flow naturally. And if you go buy a new tip-up, you know, grab that and check how that reel actually spins on that rod that comes down or where however it's attached. That's the most important thing by far. I mean, I like to run like the HTs that have, and Frabel makes them too. They have the cap that goes over the hole, mm-hmm. so they don't freeze in, you know. And I just bought two brand new HTs this year, and I grabbed them because they have such a wonderful, easy flow on the reel. Because that fish is, a lot of times, I don't know if you've ever watched pike come in, but I've done a lot of spearing before as well. Pike can come in a couple different ways. They can come in like a missile mm-hmm. and hit your sucker or whatever you've got down. Or they can sneak in very slowly, and they'll watch that minnow for a bit, and they'll come up, and they'll just chomp it, and then they'll sit there with it, and then they start to swim off, you know. And if your tip-up isn't functioning correctly, he's going to feel that tension, and they're going to let it right. go. That's all there is to it. So you'll have a flag, you'll run halfway across the lake to get it, and there'll be nothing there. And it's because your tip-up isn't working correctly.
Now, speaking of Mark Sack here in Wild Michigan, Mark, We know the fish look up for their food. So how far below, I mean, is there a formula for figuring out distance from the bottom of the ice to our bait, our minnow, our sucker minnow, or whatever you're using?
It really depends on how deep you're fishing. If I was in 15 feet of water setting tip-ups, and I have before because I've seen some giant, giant pike come out of 15 feet of water, I would set those 7 to 8 feet down. You know, that just because those big pike that are swimming through, I mean, that in the area that I'm talking about has access to shallower water. So they're coming in to basically, you know, raid those shallow fish in there. And if they see one right off the get-go that's not moving, you know, pike, they're just going to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but if I'm in 8 feet of water, you know, which is probably the average of where everybody really likes to set their tip ups up, I'm gonna go at least half that. I'm gonna get it up, you know, so that because they will come down a little bit. I mean, they can see that bait as they swim to it, so they can adjust to see that. But obviously, if you put it right on the bottom, now you're kind of mixing in with any weeds that may be left down there or any sort of structure. And pike know, they've chased fish their whole life. They know if the fish is close to anything, they're just going to swim by and they're going to go for the easy meal. So they may not hit that lower bait as much as they will a higher bait that's not moving very much.
Right.
Now, it's a little bit different when you're talking dead smelt. When you're doing a dead stick and you're setting a dead smelt, you'll see in the late season too where guys will find a flat bottom that is pretty bare, and they'll lay a dead smelt or a dead minnow right on the bottom. Time and time again, a pike will come up and see that, and they'll pick that thing up off the bottom. It is one of the craziest things you'll ever see. But that's the only exception to that rule. I wouldn't really run a live minnow a foot off the bottom. I'd get them up a little further.
All right, Mark Sack joining us here on Wild Michigan. Think that's about it, Mark. I mean, what we have time for. I had one more question, but we're up against the clock right now. But, man, as always, we appreciate your advice and your help and your expertise on these matters, man. Appreciate you joining us.
Hey, let's talk again soon. Thanks.
Absolutely. Mark Sack joining us. More coming your way. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time, Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense. ConquestSense.com, makers of some fine sense in a stick. Going to switch gears right now and talk to Lance Valentine from Teachin' Fishin'. Lance joins us here. It's been a little while since we had Lance on, and we got some warmer weather. You know, we started thinking about things. And real quickly, Lance, before I get too into what we normally talk about, a couple of weeks ago we spoke with David A. Rose. And you know Dave as well as I do. And we talked about the new possibility to be able to spearfish in Lake Michigan. And I'm not talking through the ice. I'm talking underwater for walleye, for pike, and lake trout. So when are we going to get teaching spearfishing?
Well, number one, this guy does not put his head underwater on purpose. So that probably is not going to be something that we are going to follow. That's definitely not something that.
All right. Well, good.
That will be followed.
Well, you know, the idea is there now, right? You know, teaching spearfishing.
Yeah, but, I don't think that'll happen because, like I said, I'm definitely afraid of the water, and I definitely don't go under the water. I definitely don't go under the water on purpose.
That's
something that would probably never ever happen. So, I would say it'd be a while before we jump onto that boat.
All right. Well, you know, it was an idea. It just thought, and I look at it too. I mean, look, if you're spearfishing in salt water, the fish, a lot of the fish tend to be a lot more broad. And not so long and narrow. I mean, you've got a good variety of like wahoo and other game fish. But, man, I don't see me, you know, attempting to spear a lake trout, especially a lake trout. They run a little deep for me.
Yeah, you know, but I think it's, some of the reservoirs we used to fish, when I used to tournament fish, we'd travel around the country and, some of the places we would go would allow, you know, spearfishing, you know, the spear gun, those types of things. And, you know, it was for, I remember one time vividly, we were in Arkansas in Bull Shoals, and they were flat out spearfishing. The guys are coming up and holding up stringers, and they had walleye on their stringer. And they were actually down spearfishing, shooting them with, you know, underwater spear guns. And you're like, well, there you go then. I think it was kind of, look, you know me, anything that gets people into the outdoors and anything that gets people to care about the fishery, I think is important. I think we have to, even if we don't agree with a certain way of doing it or whatever the case may be, I think we have to understand that as anglers and hunters, anything that gets people involved in the outdoors makes them care more about it. The more people that care about it, the better chance we have of solving issues, solving problems, and having more people that are a voice to help us protect what we have. So, you know, we kind of laugh about some of those things. We kind of joke about it. And but I think anything that gets people in the outdoors, especially people who haven't been involved before, I think it's a good thing. As our numbers go up with people participating, I think it's nothing but a positive for everybody involved in the outdoors that cares about the outdoors and wants to keep our outdoor heritage going. I think the more people we have, the better it is.
No, I do agree. And the other thing we talked about was the increase in size limit on Lake St. Clair from 13 to 15. So we got a pretty, we know the fishery is good there, and it's just going to be even stronger now with that 2-inch size limit increase as well.
Yeah, and that, you know, the big thing for that is that makes that whole corridor from, Port Huron, where the St. Clair River starts all the way into Michigan waters of Lake Erie, that makes it now everything is 6 fish, 15 inches. So there is no, you know, am I in Lake St. Clair? Am I out of the Detroit River? Am I on the Canadian side? Am I far enough south from the Detroit River that I can keep 6 because I'm in Lake Erie? Everything, that whole corridor now from Port Huron all the way to the Ohio line of Lake Erie, that's all 6 fish at 15 inches. So, that helps. I think it makes it a whole lot easier for people to kind of keep track of where they're fishing, what they can keep, and how big they have to be. It just makes it easier for the angler to kind of deal with. And honestly, a little bit easier for the COs too, because you don't have to determine where a guy was fishing. You know, we were talking before I got on that, you know, Canada side of Detroit River has always been 6. American side has always been 5 until last year. Well, you could drive over to Canada, catch your 6 fish, and drive back and put your boat on a trailer on the U.S. side. Well, now you got 2 guys in the boat with 12 fish. Well, you caught them legally, and as long as you did not stop in Michigan to fish, you were legal.
But now a CO pulls up, and now you got to prove that you were in Canada, and it just becomes a fight. So now with everything being 15 inches, six fish, that whole corridor, doesn't matter where you fish, get your fish. It's six fish, 15 inches, and put them in your live well, go home and have a good meal.
Yeah, it's, you know, that was one of those things too that, you know, when I first started doing this, I'm like, how do you know that we fished that side of the, I mean, with that border running right through the middle of things, you know, and it was all very new to me, and I'm sure confusing to anybody else that was just getting started fishing that body of water as well. But now we've got this nice level, even playing field for both sides, and once things as we have new distractions, the pandemic seems to be going away, and we'll probably be able to fish Canada before too long.
Well, you know, there's a huge discussion on our Facebook pages about that, of you know, what can you do, what do you have to do, what are the requirements to get over, and you still, you know, you talk to six different agencies over in Canada. You talk to the agencies that control it, anywhere from the Ministry of Natural Resources to the agency that controls, foreigners coming in. And you talk to six different agencies, you get six different answers, and those answers will change the following day when you talk to the same six agencies. So nobody really knows what those rules are going to be. I would certainly hope that just what we call pass-through boating, where I'm just going from the American side to the Canadian side by water, never hitting land, never touching anybody, and returning back to the American side and just kind of navigating through for leisure and for fishing. I would certainly hope that those regulations at some point would become unattached to vaccination status, unattached to reporting or calling or quarantine yourself. Those regulations need to be looked at and go, you know what, this is not going to affect anything regardless of what happens here. So hopefully smarter heads will, well, I guess, I want government, that's not the right word to use. I was going to say smarter heads prevail. I thought, well, maybe common sense. I'm like, well, that's just beating a dead horse. There.
Right, so, hopefully
somebody will have a little bit of common sense and get this thing straightened out so we can enjoy, you know, that's got to be a big, huge loss to the Canadian side. You know, I think we talked 2 years ago, right? That, you know, I would tell you, just in my marina between myself and the other charter guys, you know, I would tell you this 400 to 500 Canadian licenses sold every year between, you know, us and our customers. And then you multiply that by whatever it is to the Canadian government. Let's say it's $60 a year. I don't even know what the number is anymore.
Right.
But you know, that's a pretty good hunk of change. Then you go up and down the river where there's four or five marinas like ours, full of charter captains. That's got to be a pretty good good line item out of the Ministry of Natural Resources income.
No, it is, and we're going to talk more with Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing coming up in just a second. And it's not like we're trying to drive trucks across the border. We just want to go fishing. So
we just want to go fishing.
We're going to keep it simple, Pierre. So, all right, we're going to talk more with Lance here in a couple of minutes, and I'm going to poke the bear a little bit more here on Wild Michigan, because that's what we do on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Don't forget, coming up next hour of the show, we're going to speak with Martin Holleran from the Commemorative Bucks of Michigan. They've got their big banquet and fundraising event happening March 26th, Saturday night, at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. And we will be there for that. I'll be your MC for that event. And they got a lot of great stuff. They just added a cool safe that you can get in the auction, and it'll have a mystery gun in it. So that should be worth the price of admission right there. But But a lot of great stuff, a lot of great prizes, and lots of fun with the Commemorative Bucks of Michigan. Find out more at buckfax.com. And right now, back to Lance Valentine from Teachin' Fishin'. Lance, you guys, I mean, this is where you're really, really getting your hackles up and getting ready for the walleye season, Detroit River here in about a month ish, just because of the weather that we're seeing. We're going to get the setbacks. We know we're going to get that. I mean, it's spring in Michigan. It's the big tease that we get, but it's not going to stop Mother Nature.
It will not. And you know, we just did last week ago Saturday, we just did a 5-hour Detroit River workshop live on through our website. That actually, if guys want to get it, they can still stream it, download it. It's called Detroit River Workshop. We spent 5 hours. Myself, Ali Shakur, who is one of the leading walleye scientists here in Michigan. He's also a tournament angler, part of our teaching fishing team. And then Mark Panazak, who is one of my good buddies, full-time charter captain, fishes a lot on Detroit River. So three of us. We did a 5-hour workshop talking about Detroit River, and we talked about, you know, how fish come into the river from both Lake St. Clair and Lake Erie. We talked about the biggest thing on your topic is we talked about how the changes in our winters the last decade specifically have really changed the way the walleye come into the river, when they come in the river, what they do when they come into the river, and how they disperse throughout the river because winter is a little bit different now. So that was kind of interesting to kind of talk. You know, I kind of talked about it from my experience as an angler and my record keeping. Ali talked about it from the science of it and kind of why it's happening and why we're seeing these changes. But you know, we kind of came to the consensus, and it's really cool when you see things as an angler and you think you see something, and you talk to a scientist and they go, yes, that's what's happening, you know, but we're still on this thing. You and I have been talking for however long your show's been on, 100 years now, it seems like, but right. You know, we've been talking forever that, you know, this type of the thaw we're getting is not going to affect the spawn at all. It's not going to affect the spawn at all, because two things that are more important to spawning than water temperature are length of daylight that's available and moon phase. And length of daylight on March 3rd, if it's 20 below zero or 60 degrees, it doesn't matter. The length of daylight is the same. Flies need a certain trigger of a certain length of daylight that says, okay, go ahead and spawn. Now, when that happens, water temperatures may be 41, 42, 43. They may already be up into 48, 49, 50 degrees. But just because you see a magic water temperature that, you know, I see this all, you know, the magic water temperature of 47, 48 degrees. I'm like, guys, if you have a river that's more than 5 feet deep and you see 47 degrees, whatever you think your magic number is on the surface, put a temperature probe to the bottom. Put a temperature probe to the bottom of the Detroit River the first day you see 48 and go, oh my God, the walleye are spawning. It's 34 degrees on the bottom. Those fish that have come into the river through deeper channels as opposed to some of the shallow ways in, they don't even know that it's, you know, 48 degrees yet. Right. They're still down there freezing their butts off. And we have to understand how the science works, and we can't get fooled by things like this. Now, what happens is we get a situation like this. Guys can go to the Detroit River early. You know, probably next week you'll be able to get boats on the river and be careful of the ice flows, but you should be able to get boats on the river. Guys are going to start catching big fish. You go, oh, my God, the spawn is early. You're like, no, these fish are there every year. They're just usually under the ice, or there's so many ice flows you can't catch them. So the timing doesn't change. What happens is our ability to get to those fish at a different time. And anglers that don't understand the science, they react in a wrong way to a situation that's created because we get to go fishing early. So those fish are always in the river. We have tracking studies that show those fish from Lake Erie are constantly moving in and out of the Detroit River. There are big females in there in October. They're there in November. They're there in December. They're there in January. They're there in February. They're there in March. And obviously, they're there in April. So it's not an anomaly because it got warm real quick. And, oh, my God, the spawn's over, and there's no sense going in April. those fish are there all the time. Just 99% of the time, we can't get to them because of the conditions. And remember, the largest percentage of big, big, big fish usually are the first early spawners. Those females, they're tired of carrying those eggs all winter. They want to get them gone. So that happens all the time. And again, most of the time that happens under the ice or when there is enough ice flows that you can't get on the river. So just because we can get on the river next week and we see a bunch of big fish doesn't mean it's a spawn as early.
Right. Lance Valentine from Teachin' Fishin' joining us here. You know, and I guess because we're so conditioned to warmer air temps, us, You know, that yes. It must be okay. You know, it's like that color looks good to me, so it must work. You know what I mean? It's things that we've been conditioned above the water that we're not thinking of below the water and how the fish think. As much as we try and teach and learn those things, I mean, look, we're triggered by warm days here in Michigan when we've had 3 months of cold. You know that it right. must be okay for everything to go out.
Yeah, and that's, you know, look, hey, go fishing, you know, knock yourself out, you know, get out there. I know guys are already, you know, they're already on Lake Erie here in Ohio area. It's open and guys are out yesterday catching fish. And hey, look, get out. If you're going that bonkers, go fishing. But understand what is happening, and it's going to help you understand. Because what happens is these guys get out early. They catch these big fish that are there anyway. And, again, we usually can't fish for them. And then we get a little lull until that next push of fish comes. So what happens is they fish for a week, week and a half. They catch a bunch of big fish. Then they stop catching big fish because that early group has spawned. It's on its way back to the lake, and the next group has not come yet because the length of daylight hasn't gotten to where the next push comes. And then they go, oh, my gosh, the spawn is over. And you're like, oh, this spawning wasn't good last year. We didn't catch any big fish. I'm like, well, what do you mean we didn't catch any big fish? I caught, you know, 28 fish last year over 30 inches, same way I do every year. So you have to understand what really is going on. Most guys don't want to do that. They just go fishing and they look at one piece of data, which is an anomaly, and they think that that is fact instead of looking at it in the big picture. And that's one of the things we try to do at Teaching Fishing, is kind of take all that stuff and kind of take the voodoo out of it and kind of explain the why, right, mm-hmm. of why this happens and why you're seeing things and why you can't let that become your normal, because that is not normal. And kind of how to, you know, back off that, kind of make good decisions.
Yeah, speaking with Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing here on Wild Michigan, our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Lance, it's because we get so conditioned to one thing or a small number of things, you know, and you know, for somebody just listening, this may be something completely new to them as it changes all the time because we're learning all the time. But if it's one thing that doesn't change, it's the cycle of daylight that we have. And I think that's something that's really important to learn.
And I would think that guys who hunt or listeners who hunt would understand that, right?
Well,
you know, I mean, you can time the rut at a certain area within a day or two most years, right? I mean, that's all driven by the same thing. It's driven by length of day and it's driven by moon phase. Water temperature, although it is a factor, but it has very, very little to do with walleye spawning, meaning that if I took a group of walleye, two groups of walleyes, and gave them the right length of day that progressed properly, gave them the right length of day, and gave them the right moon phase, that I could get fish to lay eggs in 41, 42 degree water, and I could get fish to hold eggs and not drop those eggs until that water was 50, 51 degrees, and both those goose eggs would be very viable. Both of those eggs, if they were fertilized exactly the same way, would have the same chance of survival, and both those groups of eggs would produce the same amount of fish as the other one would. So we have to understand what's important. Look, we catch, you and I have had this conversation again since you started. I catch pre-spawn fish with eggs that are getting ready to be laid. I'm talking, you know, 29, 30, 31-inch fish that have not spawned yet, that are pre-spawn fish in the Detroit River. I catch fish like that right up until the day I leave, and I usually leave around May 20th, May 22nd, and there are still fish, groups of fish coming in through the Canadian side, the deeper, colder, faster entryway into the Detroit River that are still with eggs, have not gotten to their spawning area yet, and are going to spawn sometime in late May, maybe even early June. So, and that's Mother Nature's way of making sure that the spawn is protected. So,
well, there it is, man. Lance Valentine, Teaching Fishing, as always. We appreciate you, and we appreciate the information. And I'm going to leave you with this real quick, Lance. Just because November 15th is on the calendar doesn't mean everybody's sighted in and ready for it by November 14th. That's all I'm going to say. Take it from a bow hunter that hears the fireworks every November 14th, just shaking my head. But, hey, man, as always, we appreciate your time and your attention to detail. Sharing that with us here on the show. We appreciate you.
Hi, buddy. Anytime.
All right, man. More coming your way. Thanks to our friends at Not Just Guns, Conquest Sense, all being a part of this fun show. You can pick up the podcast at our website, wildmichiganradio.com.